Thank you for joining us on the Radio Bible Course. We're studying John chapter 8. And in verse 31, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, that belief is doubtful, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." There's an emphasis here in the Greek. It emphasizes, if you continue, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Jesus is giving strong attention to what he has been teaching. He wants them to be listening to that. They are believing in a sense and learning from him, but he qualifies what a disciple is characterized by. What? Following the word of Jesus Christ. Now the word continue is the same as the word abide in some of your translations. It means making his word the rule for your life. It will control how you live. What about the word disciple? If you are a disciple, does that mean you are saved? The word disciple has nothing to do with being saved. The word disciple means a learner. John the Baptist had disciples. Many people have misinterpreted the scripture by saying, well, it says that these people are disciples and that means they were believers. No, it doesn't. It means they were followers and they were people who had subjected themselves to somebody's teaching. For example, we read in John chapter 6, verse 66, of some disciples, and look what happened to them. It says, "After this, many of his disciples drew back and no longer went about with him." Well, many were following him until he began talking about how they needed to eat his flesh and drink his blood, and they couldn't understand that. They had no spiritual understanding. So they withdrew and abandoned Jesus. They were learners, but they weren't true believers. Another example of a disciple not being a Christian is found in Acts chapter 19. At the beginning of that chapter, it tells us that Paul came to Ephesus, and there he found some disciples. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No. We have never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And Paul then said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." And then he explained, well, John didn't want people to believe in him. His message was to believe in the one who would come after him, that is, in Christ Jesus. And although the scripture doesn't say it, you can read between the lines. And they must have said, "Oh, we didn't know that." So then they did believe in Jesus Christ, and Paul baptized them with water. Who were these people who are called disciples? They were disciples of John the Baptist. They weren't Christians. They were Jews. And as far as they were concerned, they weren't even living in the Christian era. We need to understand that. Somehow, there was a total breakdown in communication with those people. Well, although Paul never uses the word disciple in his 13 epistles, there is a sense in which we who believe are disciples. And it's directly related to the scriptures. We are not his followers unless we pay serious attention to the Word of God, and that means the whole Word of God, not just the words of Jesus, as some people would emphasize. Some say they believe what Jesus said, but they don't believe what Paul said or what Peter said, and they don't seem to understand the Scriptures. All of the New Testament has come to us by the direction of Jesus Christ, and we're going to see that when we get to John chapter 16, Jesus tells his disciples that the Spirit would come and he would be the Spirit of truth who would guide them into all truth. And by that statement, Jesus was predicting the coming of the Spirit to inspire them to reveal all the truth that God wanted us to have. And from where would that truth come? From Jesus Christ himself. Jesus said in that context in John chapter 16, "When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will take what is mine and will show it to you." So, the Spirit did that with Paul, Peter, John, and everyone else who wrote Scripture. The Spirit took the things of Jesus Christ and revealed it to them. So now, when you are reading the Gospel of John, remember, this came by the inspiration of the Spirit. How could John have remembered all these things, writing toward the end of the first century? This book is commonly dated somewhere in the 90s. What do you remember from 40 or 50 years ago? Can you remember details, quotations, specifics about places and things and people and names? Well, I have trouble with someone I met last week, and I think you do too. Well, how did John then? How was he able to give us this gospel with all these details? The answer is that the Spirit of God controlled him and brought everything to his remembrance. He didn't even have to have a good memory, because the Spirit of truth guided him into all truth. And the same can be said for Peter and Paul. If you ever find it difficult to agree with Peter or Paul on something, keep this in mind. When those letters were written, they were written as a result of the Spirit's influence on those men, but what was written came from Jesus Christ. In other words, the epistle to Timothy is the epistle from Jesus Christ to Timothy through the Apostle Paul. Now that may give you more respect for everything you read in the Bible, because Jesus is the one who is giving the Word, and the Spirit made it known to men so that we might have it. Well, now let's move on to verse 32. "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." What does that imply? Well, here are the people of God, the people who had the worship, the covenants, the glory, the adoption, the Old Testament revelation of God given at Mount Sinai through Moses, and he is saying to them, "And you will know the truth." That implies that they didn't know the truth. Now, what they did have in the Old Testament, those 39 books of your Old Testament, were true, but they didn't have all of the truth. They didn't have all of the truth which would come through this special person that God would someday send, and in their case had already sent, and was in their midst, the one who would bring truth and be the truth. We read in John 1:17, "For the law was given through Moses." Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So everything that Jesus said and did is truth. He brought the truth that set people free. But wasn't the law truth? It was. It came from God. It was holy, just, and good. Did the law set anyone free? No. Not at all. Galatians chapter 3 tells us that the law is a form of bondage. Why? Because it brings one under condemnation and obligation. It tells us that we must do everything. Yes, everything that was written in the law must be done. That makes people a slave to the law, and they were definitely in bondage. But once men believe in Jesus Christ, they have been set free from the law, and no longer are they under that bondage. Paul tries to make that clear in Galatians 3, where in some translations it calls the law the schoolmaster, or the custodian, or a child trainer. You see, the law was an imposed form of bondage to control the people of Israel. Just as a babysitter controls the child and keeps it from getting hurt. So here's the implication. you not only don't have the truth, that's what Jesus is saying to these people, but you are in bondage. But he adds, but you will know the truth if you continue in my word. And what will that truth do? It will set them free. Well, two things can be said about this passage. First of all, there is a truth. We are not asked to search for truth in this world. God has delivered truth to us. Jesus said in his great prayer in John chapter 17, "Thy word is truth." So let's not forget, Jesus came full of grace and truth, and he brought us grace and truth. Secondly, we can know the truth. It was given for this purpose, and the result of knowing it is to be set free. Christians are often referred to as people with liberty and freedom. Galatians brings it out stronger than any other epistle. Romans brings it out very forcefully also, especially Romans chapter 6. But in Galatians 5:1 we have this, "For freedom Christ has set you free." And what Paul is saying is, now stay free, and don't become entangled again with that yoke of slavery. Now this freedom should not be interpreted as liberating people from ignorance. And you will find people who talk that way. Oh yes, I am free because I have a certain knowledge, but this is not freedom in a philosophical sense. The truth of which Jesus spoke here is the kind that saves from sin, and the context directs us to that subject. Of necessity, it focuses on the one sent by God and his crosswork for sin on our behalf. Now we move on to verse 33, and here is a response which reveals that they have no spiritual understanding. They say, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been in bondage to anyone. How is it that you say you will be made free?" Now I see something wrong with these people. They certainly don't understand that Jesus is talking about being free in a spiritual sense. They are interpreting freedom as referring to this earth. And notice their pride along with their disagreement with his teachings. They are really disagreeing with him. And these are people who believed in him? Yes, that's what they say, but their pride blinded them to the fact, to the extent that they couldn't even face up to the historical record of their bondage. They wouldn't face facts. Of course they had been in bondage. But they are trying to say, "We have always been a free people." That's total nonsense. They are even ignoring what's written in their own Bible, that their forefathers were slaves for 400 years in Egypt. And they seem to have forgotten how Sargon captured Samaria in 722, and then the Babylonians captured Jerusalem in 586, and all 12 of the tribes were in captivity. And they were presently living in slavery to the Romans. They paid taxes to Rome, and they were restricted by Rome. These people wouldn't face the facts. Well, join me tomorrow for more on the Gospel of John. These Bible teaching broadcasts are made possible by the gifts of listeners, and we are grateful for friends who support this Bible teaching effort. No funds are used for salaries. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.